Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. This is one of those Sundays, friends. It's seemingly idyllic and tranquil. It's almost like a calm before the storm. One last celebration before all of those horrifying events of the Holy Week hit us with full force when Jesus is betrayed and he is arrested and executed and eventually crucified and then buried. But not this Sunday. This Sunday we kind of celebrate, right? We lifted up our palm stalks and we sing and we join in procession and the children sing. Kind of like their new t-shirts. Miss Nancy did a good job, didn't she? And this Sunday, many of the churches that I know and heard about, they usually host their Easter egg hunts and to have that focus on Easter. And I have nothing against Easter egg hunts, but don't you kind of feel like there's so much more to Palm Sunday than just a good old story with a few palm twigs and a 5-minute procession around the church building? I do. March 25, 1988, 30 years ago to the day. I just turned 2 a few days beforehand. My parents and their friends, and friends of their friends, and another 5,000 people gathered in the streets of Bratislava, the capital of Slovakia, and they peacefully marched for religious freedom and civic rights, a march against the communist regime in Czechoslovakia, the so-called candle manifestation. But this peaceful march, it was eventually suppressed. But then again, November 17th through December 29th, 1989, I was about Victoria's age. And my parents and their friends and friends of their friends, and just about every student, an actor, an artist, and dissident, they all gathered in the streets and squares of towns and cities, and again, they peacefully marched. The series of these manifestations and a nonviolent strike that took place on the 27th of November is now known as the Velvet Revolution. 2 days later, President Husák signed the law that abolished the Article 4 of the Constitution about the supremacy of the Communist Party. And at the beginning of December 1989, the borders between the East and the West opened, and the infamous Iron Curtain finally fell. Now let's go back to the year 30 of the Common Era, or thereabouts, because we have no way of knowing exactly when this happened. But Jesus of Nazareth, he's near the Mount of Olives. And if you're familiar with the First Testament or the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, you know that the location pretty much speaks for itself. You can turn your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, and you'll see that this ridge, this mount, it was believed to be the location from which an attack on the enemies of Israel would begin. It was so easy to see why those who gathered around Jesus would actually expect for him to gloriously enter the city of Jerusalem and seize its temple. And to make things even worse, Passover was about to begin. And Passover itself was a problem for the occupying force. You see, we have the Roman supremacy on the one hand, and a Jewish festival celebrating the escape from the Egyptian slavery on the other. To not allow the celebration of Passover, in which a Jewish identity had been firmly rooted, to not allow it, was to risk civil disobedience and frequent uprisings. Yet to allow it, it's almost like shooting yourself in your own foot. There's quite the anti-imperial message that goes with Passover. And then the numbers in the city would go from about 50,000 people to about 200,000 people in a matter of 2 days. And that is a conservative estimate. Talk about the recipe for disaster. And while we're at it, let's talk about Christ's procession to Jerusalem. You see, his procession was not the only procession that was taking place at that very moment. While Jesus marched into Jerusalem from the east, Pilate and his army, they lavishly and opulently marched into the city from the west in order to make a statement, to ensure order, and to highlight that they were the ones who were superior. And while Jesus entered the city, sitting on a donkey, accompanied by those who were despised, the foreigners, accompanied by the weak and the sinners and tax collectors and even women and children. Well, Pilate's entry to Jerusalem was militaristic, with war horses and chariots and weapons and soldiers to conveniently remind the people of Israel that it was him, it was Pilate who was in charge. So don't try anything. Still, Jesus and his dissident donkey ride and all of those palm twigs and branches, it almost seems like some smart-alecky act of political theater. His rather unusual march does not happen in isolation. It is a counter-procession. It is a march for our lives where the weakness is reimagined as strength and where the authority of the administration is denied in order to define a reality on entirely new terms. Jesus marches to the city for our lives rather than worships and kisses the feet of political power. March 24, 2018. Yesterday evening, we didn't wave the palm stalks and palm branches, but we carried the banners and signs, and we marched and sang, and we pushed the strollers, and we took pictures to share on the social media. And we helped, and we volunteered, and we greeted those who were marching, and we cleaned up. We were present. We were children. We were grandchildren, we were parents and grandparents, we were leaders, we were pastors and rabbis, we were teachers, we were people of the community, we were people of faith and justice. And all of us, one by one, we asked, all of us, one by one, we demanded that our children's lives and safety become a priority, and that we end gun violence and mass murders in our schools. And I believe that Jesus marched alongside our children yesterday. I believe that because Jesus, he makes a promise to stand shoulder to shoulder to us in our messy everyday life, in our needs and fears alike. And in the privation of our spirits, he declares that God is biased in our favor. And this is huge, because this is the God of justice who we're talking about. The God of justice, showing compassion and standing in solidarity and marching for the lives of people like you and myself and our children. A flesh and blood son, God's son, He shows us that God is not through with us yet. But this flesh and blood Son, this dying and rising Jesus, he also has this tendency to disturb all our assumptions and our preconceived notions. And he has this tendency to shake us out of our comfort zones in spite of those days and times and moments when it's easier to remain unmoved, when it's less work to criticize than work for change, when it costs us less, much less, to remain silent rather than stand up and speak up and march for change. And I admit, there are moments when we may feel like resistance is futile because injustices around us are rampant. And our social media pages are flooded with alternative facts and fake news. And the voice of negativity and hatred seems louder than anything we could possibly say or do or preach or write. But guess what? We cannot follow Jesus down the middle of the road without disturbing the traffic. It's not my quote, not my words, but truly inspiring to me. Once I read that if there is no political implication to what we're doing, we're not really following Jesus at all. We're just sitting on the side of the road and deceive ourselves. Am I trying to say that we need to pick the left or the right? Absolutely not. To be a Christ follower, to be a United Methodist, it's almost like marching down the middle of the road. Whether you like it or not, you'll end up disturbing both the right and the left side of the traffic. And this dying and rising Jesus, our Savior, he's been disturbing both sides of the traffic ever since, even before he marched into the city of Jerusalem in a not-so-silent protest of how things have been done. And if the same Jesus, if he does not march into our hearts and cause some noticeable uproar, then Palm Sunday and also Easter, they will remain just a good old story. And we will be unchanged. But Palm Sunday and Easter, they can be so much more. It can be our faith and our trust in God marching into the world and embodying that which Jesus has taught us. And Jesus has taught us to be human in the inhuman age, and to guard the dignity and life of each man and of each woman and of each child, American children included, our sons and our daughters. Thanks be to God.